So this morning we're talking about generosity. It's the last message in our series on everyday grace. So you've done well to get this far. We'll do something new next week onwards, coming into Christmas. And Oz and I were sitting in Costa, sort of talking about the sermons we were going to do and who was going to do what over December and so on. And I volunteered to do this. And even as I'd volunteered, even as Oz and I were talking about sort of what we were doing, I was already preparing the sermon in my head, because that's what I do. You need to watch out when you're talking to me, because I might look like I'm engaging in conversation, but I might be writing a sermon about you in my head. So I thought I'll talk about it. The topic was generosity, giving and receiving. I said I'll talk about giving. I'll talk about giving money. I'll talk about our attitude towards giving money. And so I was busy sort of writing the sermon in my head. And then when I actually sat down to start working on it, I thought, well, that's kind of a really small way of looking at this topic of generosity. Because when we give, we don't really just give money, do we? We give time. We give our energy. We give our interest, our possessions, other resources. We give all these kind of things to projects, people, situations. And generosity is bigger than just what we do with our money. And I thought, well, what I want to talk about this morning is generosity with sort of everything we give of ourselves, which I'll call grace. When I talk this morning about giving our grace to others, I'm talking about giving them anything that in that moment they need. And as I thought about this topic, I thought, well, again, generously, what makes it generous giving? What makes giving generous? And why do I, you know, I give things, as I said, I give of myself in many different ways. I know we all do. But I wouldn't consider myself a generous person. And I thought, so what makes someone generous? And I was thinking about this, and I thought, why would God be generous, and why am I not generous? And I realized something. I had a revelation, if you like. And I realized that when we talk about God being generous, we often focus on what he has given us or what he has done for us. Sometimes the preachers, like me, will stand up. That's what we'll talk about, what God has done for us. We sing songs, a lot of which are about what God has done for us. But what I realized is this. Even if God had nothing to give, he would still be generous. Even if God had nothing to give, he would still be generous. Why? Because I was thinking of generosity is about what you give. It's about giving a lot or giving more than you are required to give. But I've realized that generosity is about your attitude towards giving. It actually has nothing to do with what you give and everything to do with how you give. So God is generous, not because of what he gives us, but because of how he gives it to us. That is what makes God generous. That's what defines generosity. And that is, in a sense, the difference between God and me. Not necessarily what we give, but how we give it. Now, I hope you don't need me to put up a verse on the screen that says, you know, generosity is good and God is generous and God likes generosity. I hope you don't need me to sort of put biblical quotes from that. I want us to be able to assume that generosity is a good thing. You're okay with that? You're okay with that assumption? And so I was thinking, well, sometimes when you're preaching on a topic like this, a sermon like this, the temptation is to just come in and say, you know, be more generous. That's what the Bible says, be more generous. Again, I think most of us know a lot of the things that the Bible says that we should be better at. We don't need someone like me coming along saying you need to try harder, you need to do better at this. And I was thinking, why do I not consider myself generous? What is it about God? What is it about the way I think that stops me from being generous? What is it about the way God is that frees him up to be generous? And so I thought, this morning I'm going to talk about the difference, if you like, between the way I think about generosity or have thought about generosity and the way I believe God is generous. And when I was younger, when I was a child, I found a seed in the garden. And I got this seed, and you know what seeds are for. You plant them. Even as a child, I knew that you should plant a seed. So I planted this seed in our garden, and I'd come home from school every day, and I would water this seed. And I got very excited when I saw this green sort of shoot pushing up through the earth. And I thought, this is amazing. I'm growing a flower. And after days, it didn't take that long, I suppose, a week or so, I was presented with a beautiful golden yellow flower. Now, some of you who are more sort of horticulturally inclined than I am or was as a child may notice something about that beautiful yellow flower. In fact, my parents pulled me aside one day and said, look at the flower I've grown. And he said, James, that's a dandelion. And I said, so? And they said, James, a dandelion is a weed. I'd grown a weed. And I still remember now that sort of sense of crushing disappointment when I found out that I had rushed home from school every day and watered this thing and loved it and cherished it and thought, I'm growing something, I'm doing something. And I found out that it was a weed. I remember sort of being, I just walked away. I didn't even, I didn't rip it up or anything like that. I just left it. Just never gave it another thought. And I would say I was hurt by this thing, this disappointment. And I think one of the things that makes me ungenerous is because there are times in my life where I have given and I have been disappointed with the outcome. And I have said pretty much, okay, I will invest in this. I will give of my grace to this thing. But you'd better turn out to be a flower. You'd better not be a weed. And if a weed comes up, disappointment. And it kind of discourages you from giving. It discourages you from being generous. You'd better be worth the effort. But what I've realized about God, what I've realized about generosity is that it's a totally different way of viewing things. Here's something that Jesus said in Matthew. You've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Do you see the difference in attitude between God and myself? God gives to all. He extends to grace his grace to all. He does not care whether it is a weed or a flower. He pours out his goodness on every single person, whether they deserve it or not. That is God's nature, to give of himself. He gives where he sees a need, regardless of whether he's watering a rose seed or a dandelion seed. Whether or not I happen to think a person deserves it, God gives regardless. And that is what makes him generous. That is what is at the heart of God's generosity. A willingness to give regardless of who he's giving to. Whether it is someone who acknowledges him, loves him, follows him, or whether it is someone who hates him. He gives regardless. of his grace every single day. I want to talk about the parable of the sower that Jesus tells. Some of you may know this parable very well. In fact, I think I remember in recent memory we had a sermon on it. It's an odd sort of title for a parable, the parable of the sower, because in a way it should be called the parable of the soil, because the story is all about the soil. It's about a man who scatters seeds, and it's about the different types of soil that the seed lands in and whether the seed grows or not. And the seed is the word of God, and the soil are people and people's hearts, and whether there's fruit from the seed. And what I have realized, or what's been pointed out to me as well, is that the parable of the sower, if we think about the sower for the moment, the one who spreads the word of God, what is noticeable about the sower is that he takes his seed and he scatters it. And he does not care if there are rocks in the soil. He does not care if there are birds nearby. He scatters that seed generously, liberally, wherever it may land. He is generous with the seed. And I, in the past, with my grace, have often had my handful of seed and said, rocks, not throwing it there, not wasting my time. There are birds there, I'm not going to make the effort there. I'm going to save my seed for good soil. I'm going to plant it where it's going to give me crops and give me fruits. You don't deserve any seed, rocky ground or path or sort of birds pecking around there. You don't deserve any seed. See, I'm very wise, very discerning, very shrewd with my giving. But I'm forced to ask myself, am I generous? Jesus says, give where there is a need. He doesn't say, check who you're giving to first. He doesn't say, make them, you know, prove or that they deserve your generosity. He doesn't say, make them fill out, you know, a whack of forms before you give to them. He says, give. Where you see a need, give. This is what God does, and this is the killer, isn't it? This is the thing he says that is the killer. You do likewise. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Have a different attitude to giving to the rest of the world. God has poured out his grace on me more times than I can count. And I know there are many times when I've squandered it, where I've wasted it. He's given me a gift or talents that I haven't used. He has forgiven me for things I've done, and I've gone out and done the same thing. He has been patient and kind and generous with me, and I have wasted the things that he has done for me. And bearing that in mind, what right do I have to withhold my grace because I think they're just going to waste it? They don't appreciate what I'm giving. They don't deserve what I'm giving. They're just taking advantage of me. I have no right to do that, because God has done it for me. I have no right to withhold my generosity, my grace from others. And if I do, I can't in any way call myself generous. This is a guy called Oswald Gultier. He was a missionary in China, sort of the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, that kind of period, an Australian guy. It's an old photo, as you can see. I heard a story about him once that I wasn't able to confirm. The best I could get is a member of his family saying it sounds like something he would have done. But this is the kind of story that has influenced me, influenced the way I've thought about generosity. He was in China at the time, and it was a communist country, and he was under house arrest for a while. And they Chinese eventually came to him and said, we're kicking you out of the country. So he wires the missionary society who'd sent him and said, I need some money to come home. And they send him some money. So he takes a boat and he gets as far as India. And he stops in India, in a coastal town, a port town in India. And he hears that there are a lot of Jewish refugees in this town. And they're kind of living in rough and living in lofts around the city. So he goes to them, and it's Christmas time. So he goes to these Jews. He says, Merry Christmas. And they say, we're Jews. We don't celebrate Christmas. And he says, well, Merry Christmas anyway. And he says, let me ask you a question. If there was one thing you could have for Christmas, or one thing you really miss, what would it be? They said, we don't celebrate Christmas. And he said, well, tell me anyway. And many of these refugees were from Germany. And they said, you know what we miss? We miss really good German pastry. So Oswald Gaultier found a shop somehow in this Indian town that sold some German pastry, and he bought it with the money that the Missionary Society had sent him, and he took it to the Jews who were sort of hiding out, and he said, Merry Christmas, and he gave them this pastry, and then he contacted the Missionary Society and said, I need some money to get home. And he was telling this story, apparently, and someone in the audience was really angry with this story and said, why did you do that? Why did you take that Missionary Society's money and spend it on German pastries for these people? They don't even believe in Jesus. And Oswald Gaultier said, no, but I do. But I do. All kinds of things go on inside me when I'm deciding whether or not to give of myself. All kinds of thoughts and questions and emotions. But I've realized something. I've realized my role is to be sensitive to the needs that God puts on my heart and give. That's it. That's my role in the whole thing. Whatever that is I am to give, that's what I do. I have to give. It's not necessarily my job to decide in my infinite wisdom what are the best things to give my grace to. It's my job to listen to where God says there's a need there, James, and you can do something about it. And then I'm to give, that's it. I'm not to view my giving through the lens of my own personal agenda or my expectations. I'm just to give. And that is at the heart of generosity, the act of giving. Not the act of, or the attitude of judging. Giving. And what is it in my thinking? I was thinking, what is it about the way I think that makes it so hard for me to do this? What is it about the story with the dandelion and the seed that I remember this sort of sense of disappointment? What is it that's going on inside me that stops me being generous? And I think I've realized one of the main differences between God and me is that when God gives, he gives. Sounds simple, doesn't it? When God gives, he gives. He sounds obvious, but what I mean by that is when God gives, he actually lets the thing he's given, he lets it go. He does not keep a hand on it for himself. He does not give it with this, as I do, with this sense of expectation that I am going to get something in return for what I give, whatever that is. Here's a passage from Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be exploited. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Generosity. Generosity because God sees a need, and it requires Jesus to give up his divinity to do this. So he does. He lets it go. All of it. He does not keep back a little bit for emergencies. He does not put a bit aside for himself. He gives it up, makes himself nothing, in order that he may give the greatest gift of all to you and me. That is generosity, when you give, but you don't keep anything back for yourself. And that is how God gives. God is generous because he gives without expectation. When you think about what he does for people, I was disappointed because the dandelion seed produced a dandelion. It did not produce what I hoped it would produce. I was expecting something else. I was still holding on to the grace I was giving every day to this seed. But when God gives, he gives full well, knowing that sometimes there will be no fruit. He gives to people who do not like him, do not acknowledge him, do not know him, and will not like him, acknowledge him, or know him. Even as a result of what he gives, and yet he gives anyway. He gives regardless. It is his nature to give generously. And it has nothing to do with how the recipient of his grace responds. That does not stop him being generous. That does not put him off being generous the next time. There's a relentless irresponsibility, you could say, about the way that God gives. And there's so much wrong with my thinking, feeling like, you know, I should give if I'm convinced that it will be worth it. Worrying more about how I'm sort of spending my time, my money, whatever, rather than, worrying that it's a sound investment, a spiritually sound investment, rather than thinking or worrying about whether I'm actually being generous like my Father, which is what Jesus tells me to be. And the problem with viewing your giving or the things you give as an investment is that investments are always looking for a return. But if you look through the Bible, you realize something. That when the Bible talks about giving, it doesn't really talk very much about the gift or where the gift is going or what the person who receives the gift is going to do with the gift. It talks very much about the heart of the person who is giving, the attitude of the person who is giving, because that is ultimately what God is looking for. That is ultimately what God cares about. You know the story of the widow who put two coins in the temple treasury. It's a painting by Zeffirino da Costa showing that scene, and the sort of people are coming by putting lots of money in the temple treasury, and then a widow comes along and puts two coins in, and Jesus says, look at that. She has given more than all the other people before her because she's given out of the little that she had. What Jesus doesn't say is, well, the temple system is a flawed system. We're doing away with the sacrificial system. I'm going to put an end to that. She's giving her money into this useless cause. He doesn't say, well, in 40 years there'll be no temple anyway. It's a short-sighted view, a waste of her money. He doesn't say any of that. He commends her because of her attitude, because of the heart in which she is giving, because she is generous. That is what God cares about. That is what God is looking for. And you realize that God is generous because he doesn't care whether or not he looks irresponsible to you and I. He doesn't save his blessing only for a small group of people who look the way he wants them to look, think the way he wants them to think, say the kind of things he agrees with. He pours out his grace on every man, woman, and child. Some of us will bear fruit, but some of us will not. But he gives anyway. And the ones that don't bear fruit, don't put him off giving the next time. And so there's me with my dandelion, and I'm put off giving because I think it's not worth it. It's not worth the effort. And then people come into my life, and they have a need, and I can meet that need. It's within my power to meet that need. And I think, God, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can spare the grace today. I'm not sure it's going to be worth it. I'm not sure it's worth my time and effort. And God says to me, James, they're worth my time and effort. Isn't that enough? Not a single one of us can say we entirely deserve the grace that God gives us. Not a single one of us can say, we have always responded well to God's grace. We have always used it wisely. We have never wasted it. We have never taken it for granted. We have never abused his trust. But not a single one of us can say that God hasn't continuously poured out his grace on us generously and passionately, regardless of all those things. So that is what generosity looks like. And I've thought, you know, okay, I would like to be more generous. So you can pray for me as I try and live a more generous life. But you know what would be better, don't you? Is if you joined me on this quest for a more generous life and took steps, whatever those are, to becoming perfect, as Jesus says, like our Heavenly Father is perfect.